Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hi everybody, welcome, it's Botcast time. And I'm joined this week for a special Botcast. It's very special, because we are going to focus on a single topic today. And I don't all turn off when you hear what the topic is. At least not for 5 or 6 minutes, because we're going to give you some insights that we haven't ever given you before around how this works, and in particular about how the developments and changes that have occurred already in 2016 in this particular area can and will impact your business. So there's no one better to help me through this conversation and discussion today, as we're going to meander through the woodland forest that is Google AdWords, and holding my hand, skipping alongside me in the sunshine, is Joanne Davis.
Hello. This is my first podcast.
No way.
I've never been on one.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're even more welcome then. Mm-hmm. Jo, of course, is the longest serving member of my team. Now, I know you're keeping it's a little bit like, I think it's a little bit like the prisoner in his cell, ticking off the days.
10 and a half years now.
Goodness me, 10 years and 6 months. And on the adage that I've used before, but it's still absolutely true. In fact, the gap gets bigger every day, because Jo has spent more of my money than anybody else, including my wife. Mm-hmm. Because over the last 10 and a half years, Jo joined me 10 and a half years ago, specifically to run our Google AdWords campaigns.
Yeah, for the best of.
That's right. And here you are, still running AdWords campaigns. But oh my goodness, hasn't it changed a lot in that time?
Yep. Every time I demonstrate something on AdWords, I end up pausing because there's something new on my screen that I haven't seen before, yeah. Even when I'm in there every day, every week.
And this plays to the heart of really why we're having this special topic today, because Google AdWords is very dynamic. It is changing all the time. And that's because you've got Google, one of the very largest companies on the planet, with billions of dollars and pounds of revenue every quarter. And the majority of that revenue is driven by its AdWords platform. Now, if you had a platform like AdWords, and it was responsible for the lion's share of your revenue, you would be continually looking to make it better. And that's what Google are doing. And we'll talk about some of those changes in a moment or two. But before we do, I want to address a particular perhaps question or concern. I'm going to cough. Oh, goodness me, managed to cut that out and save you the riggers. So what I was saying is, I talk a lot about AdWords. My broad stance on it is that most businesses should absolutely be doing AdWords, because on its own, it can become the single biggest kind of marketing pillar to catapult you forward. Loads of people have stopped doing AdWords because they've done it, they've had a dabble, and found that it doesn't work, and many more have never tried it, because it requires a bit of expertise and a bit of knowledge to make it work. And I do, in that regard, I talk about it like driving a car, mm-hmm. because if we just, all of us just went out and sat in a car and no one bothered to tell us what to do or teach us, the chances of us getting it right are really quite slim, or at least getting it right without having a few incidents mm-hmm. or accidents along the way. But the truth is, anybody can learn to drive a car. It isn't difficult. And in the same way, everyone can learn to do AdWords. Yes, it is. There is a level of complexity to it, but no more so than actually sitting in a motor vehicle and driving it along. But you don't have to take my word as for AdWords, whether it's useful or not. There is a great little a quiz or a... it's online. It's done by my good friend Perry Marshall, mm-hmm. who has written, I mean, the definitive book on AdWords that he publishes. He has to publish that every year, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because it keeps changing. But if you go to isaw4me.com, then there is a 12 questions. It's all kind of multiple choice, yes or no. Very, very straightforward. It will take you just less than 2 minutes to fill in, and it will tell you and give you a definitive answer as to whether or not you should be using AdWords.
Yeah, it gives a little scorecard as to whether the search network or the display network are kind of suitable for you and your business.
Yeah. So it's a really cool place to go, and it's kind of definitive kind of proof or a definitive answer, if you like. I mean, a bit like a paternity test, I reckon. they can take the DNA and then you'll know for sure whether you should or whether you shouldn't be actually utilising AdWords. That's the first thing that we've got for you today. Is AW for me? But loads of talk on chatter on social media over the last few weeks since in very late February. Google, without any kind of previous fanfare or announcement.
Even when it happened, they didn't announce it.
Suddenly stopped showing their adverts down the right-hand side of the search page. Yeah. And perhaps, first of all, just explain to us, obviously the right-hand side has disappeared.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone completely. And what's happened instead?
Previously, there would have been, for the last few years, there would have been three ads at the top of the page and then maybe six or seven down the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Now there are four ads at the top, and AdWords are saying, but there are still ad spaces available because there's a couple available at the bottom of the page.
Yes.
But nobody's going to want to appear there because nobody scrolls that far.
Yeah.
So you need to be focusing on making sure that you are in a position to be appearing in those top four spaces. I checked our stats for the last fortnight that just show what our click-through rate and number of clicks.
So this is since the changes.
So so it covers the period with the changes. And if you go into your stats on ours, we get a click-through rate of 10.6% for a particular set of keywords. If our ads appear in the top four spaces, they are now. Whereas if it's anywhere else, the other, which is at the bottom of the page, our click-through rate is 0.8%.
Yeah, so that
and
is...
we got 446 clicks in that time period in the top spaces, and only four if we were appearing anywhere else. So the impact is massive, and you do need to be making sure that you're aware of this and that you are adjusting your account accordingly.
So anyone, if you've got AdWords set up and you haven't had a good look at your campaign since these changes kicked in, and it was late February when this happened, so they've been running now by the time you listen to this for well over a month, and the what we are seeing is that the ads that are we've seen an increase in our click through rate. We're getting more traffic to our page as a result of these Google changes, and what all of us kind of in the know, anyone that's bothered to go and find out, the information hasn't been hidden. It's not a secret, but what anyone who's paid attention has known for quite some time now is that this is not actually a really big deal what Google have done here, because the ads down the right hand side weren't getting much of the traffic anyway and haven't been for quite some time.
No, if you're appearing in the top spaces, you are likely to be getting 15 to 20 times more traffic than if you're appearing down the right-hand side.
Say that again. How many times more?
15 to 20 times more traffic.
So if you were getting a click on the right-hand side, you would be getting 15 or 20 clicks if you were in the previous kind of top slots. There are now more top slots. There's four at the top, and we'll talk in a minute about some of the changes that have been made to the ads in there, because again, when you and I started doing AdWords, Joe, back in 2004,
the only ads that existed were the ones down the right hand side.
That's actually very true.
So the top ones didn't exist then.
And of course the ads, what we had to play with at that time, our ads were very, very tight. We had a headline and we had two lines of 35 characters, didn't we?
25, 35, 35.
That's right. And whereas now, the ads that are appearing at the top of the page are very different, aren't they?
Yeah, you only have to do a quick search and you can see that there's all sorts of extra options that are available, and they come into what we call ad extensions. I think particularly if you haven't had a look at your account for a while, you might not have realised the importance that ad extensions actually have, because they give you the ability to make your ad a lot bigger. So you have one of them, site link extensions, which gives you the option to link to other sections on your site that might be relevant to the potential customer.
Yes.
We've got what we call call out extensions as well, which allows you to put bullet points in about what you do just to add credibility.
Yep.
There's also what we call structured snippets, where you might be able to put in some style.
Structured snippet,
I know as a name.
I always find snippets are better when they're structured.
Yeah, it's a much better way to be. Certainly better than automated, which is one of their other ones, where they can decide what they want to say about you as well.
Okay, this is where I have to bring you back into normal land.
The structured snippets, though, if you have brands that you do, or courses that you do, or areas that you cover, there are sections that you, so it could say categories or types or brands or areas, and then you list them them all. So it's just a way of listing extra information for you.
So if you have got an ad in the top four for the particular search term that you're looking for now, I mean, it's not, you know, your ad itself can be kind of four lines long because you can actually put your phone number in the yep. ad now. And by the way, that does generate quite a lot of calls yep. if you're getting your keywords right.
It adds credibility as well. So even if people aren't phoning you up straight away, the fact that there's a phone number there yes. makes you look more open and yes. ready to receive a customer.
Really good point. You've got the web address, you've got the original ad text, etc.
Yep.
And then you can have as many as four different extensions underneath yep. that, all kind of separate paragraphs. And so your ad can be 10 or 11 lines deep on the top of the Google searches.
And the bigger the ad, the more attention you're grabbing, the further down the page everything else and everybody else is going. And bigger ads are going to attract more attention and are going to get better results for you.
And we're seeing it, and I mean, as are others. I mean, you know, you've spoken with people who, you know, again, good AdWords professionals who've done a lot of stuff. Yeah. And anyone that knows what they're doing is seeing these changes. Actually, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing at all. And as I said earlier, the people who were whose ads have disappeared, who were running in kind of position 6 and 7 and 8 down the side, they weren't getting any meaningful search volume anyway compared to what you're getting at the top of the page.
Yeah, and I think at the moment I haven't seen, I mean, this, I think it will change, but at the moment I haven't seen a change to our cost per lead. We're still appearing in positions where we want to be, and I think we're getting more leads, and our cost per lead is as good, if not better, than it was in January. I expect as other people notice what's happened, they'll start paying more, and I think in the next couple of months we'll have a bit where they pay a lot more, don't do that well from it, and then they'll drop off again.
Yes.
But at the moment, I haven't had to put our prices up to compete or improve our quality to compete.
Now, another reason why Google have made this change is, and this is something that we it's very easy for us to forget as business owners, because we tend to do the work on our business when we are in the office and we look at things on our desktop mm-hmm. PCs or Macs. But of course, we crossed the Rubicon last year, and the reality is in the UK now, more than half of all searches on Google are on mobile devices,
yep.
either phones or tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is one of the big drivers to why Google are making the change, because those ads down the right-hand side never appeared anyway if you were on mobile devices. And now, just to be clear, over half the searches. And that's it, you know, for most of it, if you look at your web stats and look at your Google Analytics, what you'll find is that if you are typical, then again, more than half your traffic to your site is coming to you from mobile devices, either phones or tablets. And again, that's why this Google, I think, I'm certain it's the driver mm-hmm. behind this change, because it brings the right look and feel because Google's priority number one for Google, I do believe, remains their kind of purity of search. That they recognise that they have to continue to give good results to people in order for people to keep using Google, and that's at the heart of what they do. But their second priority, because they are a publicly listed company with lots of shareholders,
mm-hmm.
and most of their revenue, the biggest chunk of their revenue, comes from AdWords, and therefore Google are looking after their customers, their advertisers, and part of this change is to recognise, on Google's part, it gives them a much better product to serve their best customers, i.e. the ones that are paying them the most money, and indeed the ones that are prepared to kind of invest and commit to AdWords. And we'll talk about some of the things that means. It's not just about the money at all. You can no longer just buy yourself to the top of the charts on Google. You need to be intelligent about mm-hmm. How you do it, and Google rewards smart AdWords.
People who are playing the game and paying it properly. It's not a game, but people who are doing what they should be doing to improve their landing pages.
People who are playing the game as opposed to paying the game. See what I did there, Joe? See what I did?
Uh-huh. So it's time to look at your landing pages again and make sure that what happens on a mobile device.
Before we go on to landing, I want to go on to landing pages, but I just want to cover off as well, which is a slightly emotive topic, but I'm going to just talk it through, because one of the other implications of this change in AdWords that's come along in the last 5 or 6 weeks is it is a further nail in the coffin of the already dead and dying SEO. You've grimaced at me there, Joe. Why have you grimaced?
because every time I say this, I get people emailing me.
Oh, do you? Oh, well, they'll email me now instead.
Yeah. So I completely agree with you because.
Well, I mean, well, you don't. It's not. I just to be clear, this isn't. There is firm. Here's my evidence. I will now present the case for the prosecution then as to why SEO is dead.
And I mean, the people who typically email me who are SEO experts, I always look at them and do a quick search and can rarely find them on the front page anyway. So SEO experts who, when I Google them and I can't find their stuff, it surprises me.
Well, listen, if your business is doing SEO, then clearly you're going to say that SEO is not dead. I mean, I have no axe to grind. I haven't got an AdWords business. I haven't got an SEO business. I'm just calling it as I see it. I've got no vested interest here. I have nothing to declare in that regard other than what I'm seeing. I'm calling the evidence here. A few factors are at play. We've talked about this shift to mobile. Mm-hmm. That limits the screen size. Google are going to make sure that what you see is their advertisers.
Yeah, and maps after that.
Yes, that's very true. And yeah, Google My Business and stuff. That's right. So it's pushing the organic stuff further down. That's objective, hard evidence that's there in front of you. So any organic reach, even the guys at number one organically, are a long way down the list now compared to where they used to be. On a desktop, they are below the fold. Mm-hmm. So when the results come up, you have to scroll down to even find the top organic, and that's why it matters a lot less. And of course, the richness that Google now gives to their paid ads, to the AdWords, with that 11 lines of the ad now, with all those little extensions and your phone number in the ad and everything. No, you can't get any of that on SEO. So you've now got a bigger, richer ad at the top of the page, dominating the space here.
You're in control of the message instantly as well.
This is it. You're absolutely in control of what is said in that ad. You can control when and where you appear in that ad.
And the times of day.
Absolutely, went to when it's scheduled and everything else, and all this. Well, what? And it's also you've got that control means you have got an instant fix. And if you compare that to SEO, which is at best, even when you do the right things, you are beholden to Google making a change to the algorithm and putting something else out there that at a stroke can eliminate all your online presence. And why would you want to invest so much time and energy as well as money in something so fickle over which you have little or no control when there is something so much more accessible which is you have full control over and is there again? And the way I best heard this described recently was at the Traffic and Conversion Summit in San Diego. And a lot of guys there, I mean, that's where the world's top digital marketers all come together. And the consensus at that event is that SEO is dead. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going out on a limit. It's not like just Nige saying this. And the best little story or analogy that I heard at that event was that if you want to eat rice for dinner, okay, well, if you want to eat rice... If you want to eat rice for dinner, let's look at this evening. There's only one way you can kind of go about it because you can't grow rice this afternoon. You've got to go out to the shop and you've got to buy a box of Uncle Ben's and then you have rice for dinner. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want rice for dinner in a few months' time, then what you can do is you can go out to a field and you can prep it with fertilizer and leave it a few weeks. Then you can flood the field with water. And then you can soak the rice in the water, and then you'll get into a plane and you'll fly over the field and you'll drop the little rice seeds all over the field into the furrows, and then you'll wait another 4 or 5 months for the rice to grow, and once it gets to the proper height then you can harvest it, and then you've got to take it down and kind of process it and mill it properly, and then finally you can put the rice in a pot and boil it up and have rice for dinner that night. Mm-hmm. But that night is mid-October now and we're here at the start of April. So that's what SEO's like. Mm-hmm. Now, why would all sorts? In the meantime, your crop is by no means assured because all sorts of weather things could happen and all sorts of natural disasters. You're exposed in all sorts of areas of things outside your control. Or you can pop down the shop and buy a box of Uncle Ben's, and that's really what you're looking at here, vis-a-vis AdWords and search engine optimization. So that's my view on that. It hasn't changed. And neither will it change anytime soon. But let's get back, Joe, to landing pages.
The podcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
So, landing page is a really important part of the campaign, yeah?
Yep. One of the things that can have an impact on your quality score and ad rank is the experience that you usually have on your landing page. So does it load quickly? Does it answer the query that they were searching for in the first place? How do people respond to it? How does it work on a mobile device? So all of these things, if it's something you haven't looked at for a while, are worth revisiting. We've got a two-part article that David wrote for the circular last year in the Vault.
Yes, we have.
So it's in the online marketing section of the Vault, and yes, it's called Anatomy of a Landing Page.
Yeah.
So just to give you a few pointers maybe to go through and look at what the technicalities that you need to do on your landing page are, and you just doubly make sure you've got a privacy policy on your page as well.
So just to be clear here, I mean, David's point, and we've got this wrapped up in one of the new implementation plans as well about how you build an effective landing page. The success of your AdWords campaign, I mean, in simple terms, what David talks about is that it's 50% down to what you do with your AdWords campaign on Google. And it's kind of 50% down to what you do with the landing page.
And your landing page should be as relevant as possible to the search term.
Now, which is interesting because so in David's case, I mean, he sells, or his business is the Scottish Shutter Company. So they sell shutters to homes and or people domestically and commercially in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Now, he has got, I think when I last spoke to him, 65 landing pages.
Oh, he's got more than that.
He's got more than that now.
Yeah. The various iterations that he uses, I don't know if they're all current at the moment, but certainly over the years, I would say he's created hundreds of thousands.
Well,
He doesn't use them all in one go.
The point is that he hasn't just got one or two. And he sells shutters in Scotland. Well, how many landing pages can there be? Well, if someone searches for wooden shutters Aberdeen, then he wants to take him to a landing page which is all about wooden shutters for people in Aberdeen, because that makes his search more relevant. And what David has learned, and anyone else that's used AdWords over the years has learned, the more relevant you can make the page that people land on to what they were looking for, the higher your conversions will be, whether those conversions are sales or it's lead generation.
Your cost should be lower because the ad rank is amongst other things calculated by what you're willing to pay and versus your quality score.
Yes.
So the more relevant you can be, the higher your quality score will become, and the more relevant your search term is to your ad, the more likely you are to get a higher click-through rate, which on all of those impact on bringing your cost lower, so you can still appear in those top spaces for less money than people who don't play that game.
Quality score is an interesting thing at Google, isn't it? Because I mean, it's a 1 to 10 ranking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And how do you find out what your quality score is, Jo?
If you go into your AdWords account, on the Keywords tab, you can make sure that you customise your columns to include the column that's got quality score in it.
Yeah.
So I always make sure it's visible on ours, because it's one of the first things I look at to make sure that we haven't done anything that's affected our quality score.
And it scores you out of 10. And if you've got a quality score of 10 out of 10, then broadly speaking, and I think correct me if I'm wrong here, but broadly speaking, you will pay 1/10 of what someone with a quality score of 1 would pay.
It can have a massive impact.
To appear in the same place. 10 times the impact. If you've got a quality score of 10 as opposed to a quality score of 5, then you're paying twice as much.
Yeah. So when you first put your keywords in, they're likely to judge you at 6 out of 10, because they haven't actually done the calculation yet until a search has gone through. And so you might think, oh brilliant, they're all 6 out of 10, but you need to be making sure that once you start getting some searches through, you're keeping an eye on that, because it also combines in your landing page experience, they call it, as well. So making sure that what happens on the page is actually good enough for what they consider good enough for the end user. Also, you need to be split testing your ads, to continually aim to improve your click-through rate.
What we've got to be careful of here is because there's loads of things that people ought to do or should do, and the problem is it's a lot of work, and it's easy to say, but it creates this kind of perception that this is kind of difficult and hard and requires huge amounts of time. And I mean, the reality of it is that some time does need to be invested in this on a very regular basis. Even when you start out, at least once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. You have to be looking at your campaigns. Now, you've done some great tutorials in our new implementation plans.
All re-recorded and up to date for 2016.
Yeah, so it's all the Google stuff is, and they're all in little bite-sized mm-hmm. modules of 3 or 4 minutes at a time with the right topics that you want, etc. And it's getting someone like Joe on those videos to guide you through what to do here massively eases the complexity of the work involved, because none of this is that complicated. It's all in truth. I mean, AdWords, really, everything about it, once you start to understand it, it's just common sense. Mm-hmm. You just need to think about it in the right way.
Yeah, I would say, as long as you're sensible about things and sensible about the way you put your pages together,
yes,
and you get into good habits.
Yes.
So things always take longer at the beginning, but once you get in, I suppose it's like the driving again, that it took me a lot longer when I was first learning to drive, when I was thinking about absolutely everything I did.
And it still takes you a lot longer to get somewhere compared to me, Joe, doesn't it? Let's be honest. That's a little in joke there.
No points on my license, Nigel.
No, Joe's a very safe driver with a completely clean driving license. I mean, there's carnage behind her on her way home from work, but she drives very safely indeed. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, on these new changes, what have we found around positioning then? Because there's four slots available at the top of the page. We recognise and accept that these are the four, but they're going to get a lot of clicks, even more than they were getting previously. You know, we're seeing, you know, 440 clicks on an ad that was appearing in the top four mm-hmm. compared to just four clicks, the one that was appearing down the bottom of a page. But it, does it matter where in the four you appear, Jo?
It could differ from business to business. But, I mean, for us, particularly for the franchises, we used to actually do all right appearing in the ads down the right-hand side, because with franchises, people would be browsing.
Yes, that's true.
So in this instance,
yeah, what you mean by, just to be clear, when it was something like a franchise, it's a very, very considered purchase. And people would come and they would spend, you know, hours of an evening looking at websites and looking at all sorts of options and choice. And so they would find you even if you were in a lower spot.
Three, four or five I was aiming to be in, yes, rather than one, two or three.
Yeah.
And it would mean that I could get as many leads for less money. Whereas now I think the stats are showing, because I've been looking at what other people have been doing, the stats are showing that the good position to be in if you were one of those sorts of customers is position three. So you don't need to be in position one or two, but position three is still high enough on the page that it will be appearing in the mobile searches. Whereas the fourth one might be dropping off the bottom of the page and people are seeing it. And position three will be meaning that you're still getting those people clicking through without having such a significant impact on your costs.
Okay, so that's quite good advice there. Certainly, you don't have to go and bid and budget and plan to be at number one to make this work. And typically, you know, in the experience that you've had, either with our accounts or other people's, how much more are people paying to be typically in the top spot than they are to be in slots three or four? Any sense on that?
Well, as I say, ours hasn't changed at all. So I bid per acquisition anyway rather than per click these days. So I've told Google how much I'm willing to pay per lead.
Yeah.
And my overall costs are still coming in at around the same. I do expect that to change when people have a bit of a panic when their results drop off.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I still think that I'm confident, because we're about to do a bit of revamp on some of the pages off the back of this.
Yes.
I'm confident that I think we can still keep it around our same cost per acquisition.
Okay.
That is my aim, to still get as many leads coming in for the same amount, if not more leads for that minute.
Okay. And what determines where your ad appears with Google has changed as well as far as these changes are concerned, because it used to be the case that their kind of system for ordering ads on the results page, it used to take into account your maximum bid that you're prepared to pay and your quality score, hence my kind of, you can pay 10 times more if you've got a low quality score than if you've got a high quality score. Yep. But now with these changes, they've included the third component, haven't they? Which is all about the impact of your ad extensions and the formats, etc. Yep. And so they've increased, that they've given that a lot more prominence.
So it's down to what they expect your ad extensions to actually do, yeah, and whether they think that you've actually put thought into what you should
exactly
be linking people
to. This is where we said earlier, AdWords, Google here, rewards intelligence, and it rewards people that have put the thought and effort into building their campaigns
and thinking
properly.
What might the end user
absolutely
be interested
right
in?
Yes. So you need to make the full use of all the ad extensions, but give intelligent thought, put yourself in the shoes and get into the head of your potential customer.
For the franchises, I try and link to what the franchisee can expect to earn or meet the franchisees, because I'm thinking, what might somebody who doesn't know a lot about us
want to know?
Yeah. And those are kind of the key things, I think. And I know that from our analytics in the past as well. I know which pages people have viewed,
yes,
and what they've been interested in.
Yeah.
So I've made sure we've built stuff around that. And I think we'll have some specific pages for specific franchisees in the future. So it will be like David's story rather,
yes,
than meet the franchisees.
Yes.
So it's even more personal as,
yeah,
well.
So if we just kind of, before we move on from AdWords then, so if we could give a little checklist here that as to what people should be looking at, and we probably should do this actually. In fact, we'll make a little checklist available with this. We just decided on the go to actually make that happen. Just a little checklist as to what people should be looking at and paying attention to and reviewing now, given what is happening. So the first thing with
ad
any
extensions.
So ad extensions. So making it sure that you've got all your ad extensions sorted, mm-hmm, including getting the call outs, your phone,
yep,
etc. All
and
those
all
things
up to date.
need to be on there.
Mobile friendly would be my number two.
What do you mean by mobile friendly?
To make sure that the page actually works.
The landing page.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, but equally, you could be doing mobile. That you can do mobile bid adjustments as well. So if you look at your stats and know you get better traffic from, or better conversions from mobile searches, you can actually adjust your bids to make sure that you are getting the best value for money from,
yeah,
there as
or
well.
Or vice versa, of course.
Yeah,
just to be clear.
Don't treat everything as the same.
Yes, because we do get better conversions for our franchise sales from desktops, mm, than we do from mobiles. And so our bidding is slanted, so we spend more money, we bid higher to get desktop searches because
I think they're more serious.
That's the point, they're the mode that they're in. So and again, you need to get into the mind of your potential customer, mm, which you do with any marketing that you're doing, and this is no different. So ad extensions, mobile landing pages, would you look at the ad schedules, that sort of thing, location,
yeah,
targeting?
And I mean, I only show our ads where I know we've got franchises available.
Yeah, so you want to look at the location targeting, if you haven't looked at that so far.
And again, I can do bids based on the locations as well. I mean, for the EC, if I think I'm happily appearing in those top spaces, I probably am for most of the country, but if I break it down, I have to make sure I bid more for London.
Yes.
Because we're appearing in position,
yeah,
five or six around,
yeah,
London for the same amount of money. So you've got to check that it's not a one size fits all.
Really smart. Another area that Laura Moxon spoke about, I mean, Laura is the EC's trusted supplier. She's done some work with us. And if people want help with their AdWords, then Laura is the person that we recommend you talk to around AdWords, in terms of, because you have no capacity to do work for any of our members. But Laura does. And Laura talked about at the regional meetings about how the danger of, for instance, having, if you've got your ads optimized for conversion,
mm-hmm,
how, whilst that might appear to be a very obvious thing to do, so you, because what that means is you run some different ads and you show the ad that is converting highest. But if you only ever show ads optimized for conversion, then what happens is you don't allow the other ads to kind of challenge it. So there needs to be at least some time and duration where actually you're trying to beat the one you've got. Otherwise, the results you're currently getting will always be the results that you'll kind of get. So sometimes things like that can be a little, mm-hmm, bit counterintuitive. So that will be another area to look at. Ensuring that you've got your quality score on your kind of dashboard when you're pulling your reports off, pulling that quality score off, as you said earlier, making sure it's one of the columns that's in all your reports.
It's in the video that's on bidding, because I talked about how you work out your bids.
This is on the implementation plan for AdWords.
Yeah. So in that implementation plan, there is a bit where I talk about customising your columns, so you've got quality score in there.
The fact that implementation plan that you've done on AdWords, on getting going, how long would it take someone to actually go through that?
If they were just watching it, half an hour. If they're watching it and implementing, maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. Now, and in that regard, probably a really smart thing to do. A lot of people listen to the podcast when they're driving.
Yeah.
They have less time to drive like me as opposed to drive like you. but therefore, when they get back to base, perhaps making a little note here, actually logging on, pulling that implementation plan around getting started AdWords.
Yes. Yeah. So even if you've been doing stuff and you think you know how to do this, it's worth going back over to check because some of the settings have changed. So making sure that you've got the right settings in there in the first place, and you have. You're including the right things and things like that.
Can we talk briefly about, I want to call a couple of other things very quickly. YouTube advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. When I said short, I mean...
Well, you can remarket, apart from anything, is my start point when we want to look at stuff for YouTube.
So just explain that then for people, just make sure they've got that really clear. So what do you mean by remarket on YouTube?
So anybody who has been on our website or any of our websites that I'm tagging, that I've tagged because we own them, or anybody who has been on our YouTube channel, who has watched our videos, has subscribed to the channel, has liked, has commented, all of these things, you can build remarketing lists around, and therefore you can show adverts to them that are tailored around the thing that it is that they've done.
Yeah.
So I can either use them to promote more content to them to kind of warm people up if we're looking to warm up some leads. So I could show them a series of videos that get more and more about why they should be signing up for something for us. Or I can also upload maybe a customer list, like our list of you guys, our members.
Yes.
And I can show specific things to you that we are doing at the moment if we are looking to get you onto a national event or something like that.
So again, it's technically it's very easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's no different to just jumping out of your normal car and getting into another car.
Yeah.
You know, there's an ignition and a gear lever.
If you've got an AdWords account, most of this is just a case of ticking some boxes to set it up.
And it can have quite a big impact. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conversion to be, a lot of leads to be generated and sales to be made on this.
We've used it when we've been selling the teeps and things like that, just to get our maximum coverage everywhere. I make sure I appear on YouTube too.
Okay. And we touched on remarketing, which we can't go into now, but again, there's an implementation plan on that, which you've done as well, which is really cool. And I want to just finish off then. Let's just talk about shopping campaigns.
Yeah, so one of the bits and bobs there, that if you have the sort of business where you're selling physical products that have got a catalogue, you should definitely look at an AdWords shopping campaign, because the way that those are actually set out, they're showing that it's a completely different layout on the search engine results page, and therefore the kind of everything we've talked about, right hand side ads disappearing, kind of isn't that relevant to the shopping campaigns, because the ads look different because it's got imagery, and you do get like a little side panel, well, you do at the moment still.
But just to be clear, shopping campaigns are only for people who've got a website on which people can actually buy and place e-commerce. Orders and use your credit.
So you have some sort of online system that you are uploading into what they call the Google Merchant Center.
So if you are generating leads from your website, ignore shopping campaigns. Cool. Listen, let's end this little broadcast with where we started it, which is AW for me. Mm-hmm. Because that's the place to go to get the definitive answer as to whether and what you should be doing with AdWords in your business. It's completely free. It's a very cool report. Will take you less than 2 minutes, and at least then you'll know. Joe Davis, 10.5 years in the waiting, and you're now an official Botcast veteran.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been for you?
It's been great.
Yeah, make sure next time you take a sincere pill before you take it. Thank you for joining me. I hope that's been helpful, guys. And Joe's implementation plans on AdWords and remarketing, and indeed on some Facebook ads as well, is all in the new vault. They are looking great, and they're really, really helpful, much more so than they were previously. Also can be a really cool thing to point some of your, if you want help with your staff at this, then pointing them at those implementation plans as well can help you hugely. That's it for this month's podcast. We will be back to a CD player or audio download near you 4 weeks from now, and I'll see you then. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to The Botcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.